The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as this branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things take place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So some of you may know that right now I'm on leave from call, doing pulpit supply here and there. During the week, I fix copiers. Specifically, I fix the big printing presses that you'll see at a publisher's or at big print shops. And this past week, I spent most of my week working at Ohio University, fixing the big presses in their print shop. The work itself was fine, even though it seemed like it would never be finished, because it takes a while to work on the big machines. But the drive there and back was miserable. I would get up at 4:30 when it was completely dark, drive for 2.5 hours to get there, and then drive that same trip back, leaving at about 5. Now, in the summer, this is not a terrible thing at all because it doesn't get seriously dark till 9 or 10 at night. But in the winter, I leave in pitch black and come home in pitch black. And in the darkness, it seems to add stress and anxiety to that trip. I have to watch out for deer, and I have to hope it doesn't rain, which this past week it did. And I have to fight the headlights that are in my face the whole way. Driving at night is just harder. It's hard in the darkness. But it's the only way to get home. I can't really stay there until morning, waiting for the light to come. I have to drive through the darkness to get home. And this week is the first week in Advent. This week, like the last of the church year, Christ the King Sunday, which we had last week, we look into the promises that God offers when the Son of Man comes again. The promise of a time when pain and sadness and loneliness and weeping and all of the other things that push us toward despair will be gone. God promises light perpetual and life eternal to the elect whom God chooses in this gospel in Mark today. And I always find that phrase, the elect, a little bit threatening in my own mind. It's another one of those who's in and who's out kind of phrases that so many may take out of context and use as a way to exclude others. And I often wonder, am I the one excluded or not? Am I the elect? I like to think I am. But if we are open to all of Scripture, we will hear that God desires nothing less than for all of humanity to be the elect. Right? In the Old Testament, God says through the prophet Isaiah, on this mountain, I will provide a feast for who? For all people. A feast of well-aged wines and good food. And in the New Testament, Jesus says in John, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. So as we hear the term the elect, we may have that temptation to think about who it is that's the elect. But we can hear that all who are called are the elect. In other words, everyone. Everyone is able to participate in that day after that suffering, right? Which is another one of the hard phrases in this particular gospel. After that suffering. You see, Mark's gospel was written to a people who had just been devastated by the destruction of their beloved temple, the place where God dwelled. So everything they knew about God and religion and about life together and what was at the center of that was destroyed. They had nothing to center their lives around anymore. And they were in total spiritual darkness. So Mark offers them some headlights to bring just a little bit of light as they drive through the night, through this despair. A little hope to help them on the journey out of despair and into a new hope. The Son of Man will come in clouds in power and glory and will gather everyone into the light. God will bring the people home through the darkness. So are you in darkness these days? Are you weighed down by the darkness of life's struggles? We all know that there are struggles that we all share, just as there were struggles common to humanity, even in first century Palestine. Health issues, relationship problems, class struggles, poverty, homelessness. Solomon said that there is nothing new under the sun. We've all felt the same struggles. But somehow today, the struggles we feel when we're in the middle of them seem so much more intense than it did in the stories we read. Because when you read about something, you can detach a little. But when you are in the middle of it yourself, you feel it. It's real. So the hope that we hear in Mark's gospel today for his people offers us a little light as well. Darkness is not all there is. Light will dawn and a new day will come upon us, bringing joy and peace and belonging and unconditional love. That is how we enter into this season of Advent. We acknowledge the darkness of our world, but we also look for the light in it, because looking for the light is all that we can do sometimes. It's like the nightlight in the bathroom, right? It's not a lot of light, but it's enough
so that we aren't completely blind in the darkness. We can see our way a little bit. This couple weeks ago, the November 20th, was the Transgender Day of Remembrance in Uptown Marion. We gathered in the dark and the cold with candles lit, remembering the 65 transgender people who had been killed or completed suicide because they couldn't stand the hate in this world toward them. And as I read Mark's gospel for today, I was reminded of that evening. We were a people in darkness, crying out to God for a new light, the light of transgender justice, to shine on this world. We named the darkness of hate and misunderstanding that led to violence toward 65 of God's beloved children. And we shared our belief that the hope of God's promises are real. We grieved and we healed a little, knowing that the darkness is not all that there is. Advent always asks us to wait. But we wait expectantly. Mark asks us to keep alert to the signs of God's coming. This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. It may be that Jesus was speaking about his own crucifixion and resurrection, according to some scholars. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This could be a picture of what happened when Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross. Right? The earth shook, the sky was dark, and the veil of the temple was torn. And again, Jesus says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds." You see, after the resurrection, Jesus, at Pentecost and beyond, gathers the elect by the power of the Holy Spirit, by hearing the word, through worship, through conversations, through the Spirit moving in this world. And this is how people have come to know God ever since. And we, here in the 21st century, are called in the same way to be alert for the signs of God's coming into the world. Signs of light penetrating the deep darkness of hate and greed and malice and injustice of every kind. And we won't know it's coming. And we won't see it if we aren't looking. Because until that great and glorious day dawns, Jesus comes to us in unexpected and sometimes small ways. And if we aren't looking, we may miss the glory of God in our midst. Keeping alert is about living in such a way that you can look around your daily routine and say, "I saw God today." Have you ever said that? Have you ever had some situation in which you knew that this was God acting? It happens all around us, every day. As I was working on these printers at Ohio University on Friday, the operator started sharing with me a little bit about her mother-in-law and the health struggles she's going with and how she is having trouble coping. She didn't know that I was a pastor. She just wanted to talk with someone about what she was going through. And God was there in that print shop. Not because I counseled her in some way or offered some holy insight. We were just sharing with one another, hearing and being heard. And God is in that. In Advent, we look for the promised coming of Jesus as Savior, and we look for the presence of Jesus already here as Spirit, and already moving us toward the time when the light will shine into our lives forever. And so we watch. We are alert for signs of all this in our lives, in worship, and are offering ourselves in service to those who are still struggling to see any light. Keep alert, therefore. Listen for the promises and give thanks to God for those small ways in which God shows up in our lives. God, the giver of light. Amen.